Chapter 36. Absence is a curious thing. When friends are absent, they seem to loom ever larger, till the lack of them is all one can feel. Now that Anne has left, the room is too big. Try as I might, I cannot fill the space that remains. I find I miss the snoring that pestered me so. I miss her gloomy character and silly romantic notions and macabre fascinations. A half dozen times during the day I think of some small observation I should like to share with her, an aside about Cecily or a complaint about the porridge that might make them both more bearable, only to realise that she isn't here to enjoy it. There's a moment of profound sadness that can be dispelled only by summoning my anger. She chose to leave, I remind myself as I put the needle to my embroidery, sing hymns and practise my curtsy for the Queen. But if the fault is hers, why do I take it to heart? Why does her failure also feel like my own? I'm glad when Miss Macleady, acting as games mistress, calls us outdoors to play at sports. Several girls amuse themselves with lawn tennis. Some intrepid souls take up fencing, with Felicity leading the charge, a fierce gleam in her eye. A small group campaigns for cricket, just like the boys' schools, but as we have no bats or balls, it's a moot point, and grumbling, they are forced to settle for croquet. I am for hockey. Running about the lawn, stick at the ready, cradling the ball down the field, passing it successfully to a teammate, shouting without restriction, all the while with the wind in my face and the sun on my back, is most invigorating. I should like a bit of hockey to clear my mind and sharpen my senses, to make me forget my loss. I find I should like to hit something with a stick. Miss Macleady calls to us from the lawn without restraint.
That will never do! Your chum needs an assist, Miss Temple. Look sharp. You must work together, ladies, toward a common goal. Remember, grace, strength, beauty.
She may speak to the others, for I've done with assisting. I tried to help Anne, to no avail. When the ball is in play again, Cecily and I race for it at the same time. My blasted skirt tangles in my legs a bit. Oh, what I wouldn't do for the freedom of trousers just now, and Cecily gains the advantage. She may be closer, but I don't yield. I want it. More importantly, I don't want her to have it, else she'll be smug for a week.
I'm for it, I call.
No, no, I have it, she shouts.
Our sticks lock, and she gives mine a smack with hers. One of our opponents, a thick girl with ginger hair, seizes the moment. She reaches between us and steals the ball, setting up a most brilliant play.
I told you I had it, Miss Doyle, Cecily says with a tight smile.
Clearly you didn't, I reply with a false smile of my own.
It was mine.
You're wrong, I insist. Miss Macleady strides onto the field and separates us.
Ladies, this is hardly a demonstration of proper sportsmanship. Enough, or I shall give you both poor conduct marks.
Glowering, I return to form. I should like to show Cecily, show them all what I can do. No sooner have I thought it than the magic rears inside me with new force, and the ball is all I can see. I'm as bold as Richard the Lionhearted as I race down the field, outwitting my opponents. This time the play will be mine. Cecily is quick, though. She's nearly to the ball. I run hard, knocking Cecily down. She sprawls on the grass and begins to wail. Miss Macleady comes at a clip.
Miss Macleady, she blubbers. She deliberately charged me.
I did not, I protest, but my red cheek showed the lie for what it is.
You did so, Cecily wails.
You're being babyish, I say, putting the blame back on her shoulders.
All right, that's enough. Miss Temple, part of sportsmanship is keeping a stiff upper lip.
Cecily's mouth opens and I gloat.
And you, Miss Doyle, are far too hot, it seems. Cool your temper off the field, please.
But I...
Your recklessness might cause an even graver injury, Miss Doyle,
Miss Macleady says, and I know she isn't speaking solely of the game. My cheeks burn. The other girls snicker.
I am not reckless.
I'll have no further argument. Off the field until you have regained your composure.
Mortified and angry, I walk past the smirking schoolgirls and the chuckling workers and straight into the school, not caring that I'm demonstrating the most appalling lack of sportsmanship.